If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Lindsay Farm is a family-owned and operated dairy farm in Central Hawke's Bay. The 75-hectare farm is owned by Paul and Christine Ashton, and with the help of their daughter, Ange Brooks, they sell all of their milk direct to consumers. We're interested in this, so we've invited Ange Brooks to come on to our radio station to tell us more. Ange, welcome. Thanks.
Hi, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Okay, so you're helping. It's a family effort, obviously.
Yeah, it definitely is. I moved here 10 or 12 years ago. I moved back to the farm. I've been helping mum and dad ever since. So pretty hectic, not only producing the milk, but then selling to consumers. So it's a busy job.
Has the farm always been a dairy farm?
No, mum and dad brought the farm 20 years ago. They'd always been dairy farmers and farmed all around the place from northern Hawke's Bay and Tutera down to the South Island and in southern Hawke's Bay. And they bought this farm in the intention of that after 40 years of milking cows, they'd had enough.
Okay.
And they couldn't help themselves and they jumped back in. So they converted the farm 16 years ago from sheep and beef to dairy and have been milking here ever since. So, yeah.
I know nothing about farming. So when you talk about converting a farm, obviously the grass kind of stays, right? I mean, that doesn't go away, or you don't have to, maybe you have to change it. So is it just a matter of re-equipping the machinery on the farm to do that? Is that what conversion is?
We went from a wool shed to needing a cow shed, effectively, putting in irrigation. In Central Hawke's Bay, our summers are pretty brutal and pretty hot, so we need to have that water in the summer to get the grass to keep growing for the cows. So putting in races, making it more effective to be able to rotate the cows around the farm. So it's quite an ordeal.
Okay, ordeal. Don't want it to be too much of an ordeal. I want to ask you, obviously, about selling raw milk, because that has us interested. But first of all, how big is the farm? How many cows do you have? Is there anything that would be interesting in terms of the way you manage those cows, that stock, that we could get some information on?
Yeah, so we have 75 hectares, which is 250 acres. So because we are supplying direct, everybody wants their milk every week, regardless of what's going on. So we used to just like a normal conventional dairy farm, we would have a calving in spring and autumn, but we just found that we were having too many highs and dips in our milk production and it wasn't really working for what we're trying to achieve.
Okay.
So we made the decision to have the cows calving every week. So basically we have our 120 cows and we have 50 to 60 in milk at one time. So we work on two cows calve per week. And when we've got too much milk, the girls that have been in production the longest go off and have a wee holiday. And they tend to be out of milk for anywhere from 2 to 4 months, have a wee holiday around the farm.
So some
are having a holiday and the rest are in milk production, getting very well fed and only milked once a day. Our theory with that is we're trying to look after the girls, keep good condition on them, keep them in really good health, and in return they'll give us some very good quality milk. So
I take it from what you said that once a day is not the norm?
No, most dairy farmers will milk them twice a day.
Okay.
About volume.
Is that quite hard on the cows?
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, they're having to produce a lot more milk, so they then can affect their condition. It just comes with some health issues, potentially, not always. And our theory is we're not wanting quality, we're not wanting quantity, we want quality. So we just made that decision that we'll look after them a little bit better and take the pressure off and just expect milk from them once a day.
And calving, did you say twice a week?
Yeah, so we have two calves born.
That's endless. It's always something always on the way.
Oh, yeah, they're always coming at us, so which has its own challenges. We're really committed that a lot of our consumers, they deal with us directly and get to know us, and a lot of them had big concerns around the fact that what happens with these calves when they're born. We only keep 10 to 15 replacements a year, so that gives us a around 100 calves a year that we need to find homes for. A lot of people don't like the bobby calves, so we made the decision that we wouldn't do that. So instead of sending them off on the bobby calf track, we work really hard through our Facebook to make sure we find homes for them. So,
and does that usually work out?
Yeah.
Oh, that does?
Yeah, I find homes for all of them. So, spring is difficult because there's calves everywhere and people get to pick and choose. And most of our cows are Jersey, just for that milk fat content.
Yep.
And a lot of people aren't huge fans of using them for weight stuff. So, but I do. I find homes every time I have a home for them. So it's really
brilliant.
Cool, actually.
Brilliant. Tell me, what is? I think I know what it is, but I'm sure there's more to know. What is actually raw milk? What is it? Yeah. Is it like as it comes out of the cow? Is that basically raw milk?
Yeah, it is raw milk. All we do is we milk the cows and we cool the milk down to 4 degrees and we put it in bottles and we deliver it. So,
really?
It comes, as nature intended, as they say.
Yeah. So how popular is that then out there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge. We've got around 1,700 families that buy from us every week, selling around 4,000 litres a week of milk. So, yeah, it's huge. People are starting to, I think as time going on, people are getting more aware of their health and well-being and starting to get curious about whole foods and what that actually looks like. And there's a lot of really positive research out there talking about the health benefits of raw milk. You've still got all the biology and the enzymes in the milk that help make the nutrients available. And we see some really cool feedback from customers around kids who have eczema and asthma and gut health issues.
Oh, so, clearing up.
Yeah. Making a massive difference in people's health and well-being. So, it's a really rewarding job to get such amazing feedback from customers.
So what happened to raw milk? Pasteurization became a big thing. When was that, in the 50s or even before? Was that why was that? I used to be a milk boy back in the day. So I remember hearing about pasteurized and homogenized and all that sort of stuff. What was the reason for that?
Yeah, it was around the Industrial Revolution time. And what started to happen is as towns got bigger, especially over in the UK, is that in America, they started to have the cows in town instead of out in the country eating grass. They were giving them distillery grains, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And they were living in really horrendous.
What, from the gin factory or something like that?
Pretty much. So they were poorly feeding them. They were living on the streets in very poor health. And people were consuming this milk raw. And it was literally killing people. It was pretty horrendous. And so instead of looking at the situation for what it was, that actually take the cows back to the grass and look after them properly, and you'll have healthy product again, they just panicked and found this way of dealing with any bacteria in the milk, and that was pasteurization.
Yeah,
just took a foothold, and it became easy to manage the milk as well. It gave it a longer shelf life, and so that's how it came about, basically.
I remember once when I was in America, I left a plastic bottle of milk out in the sun for about a day and a half without realizing it. And you know what? It still tasted okay.
Concerning, really.
Never forgotten that. Now, what's the difference between A1 and A2 milk again?
Yeah, so it's a beta carotene in the milk. The simplest way I explain it to my customers is that human milk, goat's milk, sheep milk, they're all A2. It's just a gene that they played around with genetics in America, and they, I don't think, intentionally created this A1 protein in the milk. There's a lot of research coming out now that protein seems to affect people with gut issues and just not being able to tolerate the milk very well.
Right on. Is it a genetic modification? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they just played around with genes when they were playing around with different. Yeah, so it's not great. And there's a lot of theory that a lot of people, two reasons people are struggling to drink milk is one is the A1 protein, and then two is the pasteurization. So it's an interesting one for consumers. And for us, it was just a matter of ticking that box so that if it is a potential issue for some people, we were dealing with that.
So the normal way of operating dairy farm in New Zealand would be to have a deal with Fonterra, is that right? And their tanker pulls up, I don't know how often, and takes away the milk. Disconnecting from that, was that a bit of a gamble?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. And definitely raw milk, I think, was a real gamble for mum and dad. They'd always just supplied Fonterra. That was what you did, really. And I guess what made them make the leap was we're only 5 kilometres from our local town, Waipukuro, and we had people that were coming and seeing mum and saying, look, can we buy your milk raw? And mum got curious, why are these people specifically wanting raw milk? And when she did her own research, she was just blown away by the health benefits.
It's dangerous doing your own research, Angie. You should know that.
Oh, she's good. She's read enough books to sink a ship. So
right. No, okay. Yeah.
So, and then we're really grateful to him. Ben Warren, who owns Be Pure, he did a lot of health talks here in Hawke's Bay. And he'd have an audience of 300 people, and part of his talk was promoting raw milk. And every person off you go would get themselves a bottle of raw milk to try, and it exploded it for us.
What's the difference in taste? Because I know what regular milk tastes like.
Yeah, it's huge.
Really? Like really creamy?
Yeah, creamy, and interestingly, a lot of the feedback we get is slightly sweet, but in a nice way. Okay. So. Yeah, it's quite different. But even our pasteurised milk that we've started
doing. Oh, so you do pasteurised?
Yeah. So government changed the rules around raw milk and how you can dispense it, and it made it tough for us. And we used to deliver up to Auckland and Gisborne, Taupo places, and that had to stop for us because of the tight rules around selling raw milk.
I take it that you had no issues doing that.
Oh, it's a challenge, definitely, when you're doing things a certain way and you have to...
But to the point where the government prevents you from doing it, I mean, is it something that is manageable?
Yeah, it has been. It was a huge shift for us as a family, and involves a lot more paperwork, I guess, and just shifting how we ran the business. Was really big for mum and dad to take on the idea of pasteurised milk. I think my mum shuddered at thought for quite a while.
Yeah. But pragmatic, though.
We had to survive. And so, you know, overnight we lost 20% of our customers, and we needed to think on our feet around that. So I could see that it was huge potential, people wanting a very good quality pasteurised milk that were nervous of raw milk. And also it's difficult to access. So I said to them, you know, we've got this opportunity to produce a good quality pasteurised milk and put it in the supermarkets and make it available to people. So, it was a huge shift for them. And we put in a pasteuriser, and we use a vat pasteuriser, and we pasteurise at a very low temperature at 63 degrees. And at that low temperature, you seem to maintain taste a lot better.
Yeah,
and you don't do as much damage to the biology in the milk as you do with the high temperature pasteurisation, which is at 95 degrees.
Oh, yeah, that's almost boiling.
Yeah. All the big companies are doing that. It's faster, but it's affecting the quality of the milk and it's affecting the taste. So even our pasteurised, you would be pleasantly surprised. It's got a really lovely flavour. So, yeah.
Oh, getting that sort of product into supermarkets. What sort of ordeal is that?
Oh, yeah, challenge.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was not something I hadn't taken on before and never done, and it was a bit of a minefield, if I'm honest, and it involved using my contacts and speaking very sweetly, but also knowing that we had something really unique that we could offer them that, you know, we're local, we only do it in Hawke's Bay, A2 and organic, where there's a couple of other small companies that do that, but generally speaking, there was really no one in Hawke's Bay that was doing A2 organic milk. So, you know, it wasn't a hard sell in a way, but we were one of the little boys having a go. So.
Well, you've just got me thinking, you know, if local and direct, if there's a good market for that in a place like Hawke's Bay, there are other areas of the country that have population sizes close to that and have the land around it. It sounds like really the opportunity is to go local.
Yeah. And I think consumers, they want to support you. I think we've done a really good job over the years of connecting with customers. When you're selling direct, they get to know you. I think they love that they're part of what we do. They feel connected to us as a family. We're not just a farm and we're not just milk. We're a family and they love being part of that. So, I think people are really keen to support local, and seeing little companies thrive, it's exciting for people to be a part of that.
And some awards too.
It's very excited.
Like the Oscars of milk or something, is it?
Yeah. Oscars of food, actually.
I beg your pardon. Well, tell us about that, please.
Yeah, so that's the New Zealand Food Producers Awards. They do it every year. And we entered both our raw milk and our pasteurised milk into those awards this year and crossed my fingers and toes, and was very excited to get the news that we received a gold medal for both of our milk. So,
way to go. And what does that mean in terms, I mean, it's great, you know, that you're recognised. Does it mean much for business?
Yeah, I think so. I think I found myself, and what encouraged me to enter them was that I find myself in the supermarkets, if you see a food product that's got an award on it, you instantly get curious of, wow, if they've won an award, it must be pretty good.
It must be good. Award winning. You can start saying award winning. Lindsay Farms award winning.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay, if people want to find out more about you, is there a website?
Yeah, there sure is. If they go to www.yourmilk.nz, you'll find us. For our raw milk, if you're in Hawke's Bay, you need to buy direct from us, and you can do that on our website, or you can also look on there to see our stockers of our pasteurised milk. So, yeah.
Ange Brooks, Lindsay Farm, Hawke's Bay, thanks for coming on RCR. Really interesting. And good luck.
Thank you. Fingers crossed we can win this Kiwi's Favourite Award. That would be my next challenge. So.
Oh, way to go. Okay. Does someone vote for that? Can we help?
Yeah, definitely. If you could, you go on to the www.NewZealandFoodProducersAwards.co.nz and you can go on there and vote for your favourite producer. So
let's see if we can move the needle on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.